The final report from the Aged Care Royal Commission has comprehensive and far-reaching recommendations, including greater transparency, tougher oversight and better training. Essentially, the current system is not working and it needs a significant shake-up and injection of funding to fix underlying issues. Joining me to share his thoughts is this year's Senior South Australian of the Year, Richard Bruggeman. He's a Professorial Fellow in Disability and Inclusion at Flinders University. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning, Jenny.
Now, some commentators say basic needs are not being met here. What's your takeaway from this commission's report?
Well, basic needs, the need for safety, the need for food, water, warmth, comfort, those are things that we're finding in this report have not been met in many organisations. Now, let me say there are many fine organisations that are doing these things very well, but at the present time, we've got no way of distinguishing between the good and the bad, quite frankly. However, as well as what you might call those more basic needs, we have other needs, the need for friendship, for a sense of accomplishment, of fulfillment. Those are things that we get in our community through our friendships with our neighbours, our family, the fact that we've got a job that gives us an interest, that we feel fulfilled, that we're doing the things that are important to us.
Mm.
And it would seem to me that, again, in many residential services, those things are not even on the radar. Are not being achieved. And I don't know whether your listeners would have seen a program called Nursing Home for Four-Year-Olds, where four-year-old kids came in and interacted with a group of elderly people in the nursing home. The results were that there were improvements, measurable improvements in their physical and mental well-being. And it makes you wonder why this isn't the norm. Mm. Rather than an exception that was on television.
Yeah, and that sort of shows that if you inject a bit of vibrancy and a bit of joy and activities into people's lives, that it can vastly improve their well-being and health.
Yes. You know, maybe this is a function of staffing. Often, unfortunately, it's a function of just not worrying. You know, like the regulatory body, the aged care Quality and Safety Commission is more interested in making sure that those bad things don't happen, and consequently in many instances the good things don't happen. And if all we did in life was to make sure that bad things don't happen, it wouldn't be a terribly exciting life for any of us.
Mm.
You know, it's the good things that make our lives worthwhile.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're seeing from people like Maggie Beard trying to mount campaigns of having just actually nutritious and delicious food in nursing homes instead of, having eggs that bounce because they're really worried about the egg being a safety issue if it's not cooked 100%.
Yes. You know, and the other thing that Maggie Beard mentioned, and again, I don't know that this is even on the radar of some organisations, eating food can be, as she said, a joyous event, you know, done with other people. It's not just a matter of sustenance. It actually, you know, one of the joys that we have is sharing meals with friends. And because it's not just about the food, it's about the conversation, it's about the environment, it's about being with other people. Having that sense of friendship, belonging, and even in our meal times, we can accomplish this if we take it seriously.
So you'd like to see a little bit more time and focus or investment in just creating a bit more joy in these aged care facilities?
Yes. Mm. And again, I have to stress, it's not to say that there are not some aged care services that aren't already doing this. I mean, there are some very good providers. But there are some, obviously, where it's the bottom line that counts, and as long as they meet the minimum requirements, that's all that matters. And I have to say, the thought of living in one of those places certainly doesn't appeal to me.
Another issue that's come up, which I know is something that has struck you since the Royal Commission, is there's a bit of a what you're calling an increasing age apartheid. Tell us about this.
Yes, look. It's interesting to compare what's happening in disability services. Until a few years ago, we had a number of large institutions which basically separated people with disabilities from their communities. And we've been undoing those. Last year, the last person moved out of Strathmont Centre. It was an institution of over 600 people at its peak. And at the same time this is occurring, we're actually increasing the number of people who are being separated from their communities because of their age. And it's interesting. I think this comes about in our very philosophy about aging. You know, when you're going to age, you put your feet up. You know, you take it easy. You're not involved in the struggle of life anymore. And yet it's the struggle, it's the sort of the day-to-day activities, you know, being involved, thinking things through, being a part of the solution. Those things are important. And we're saying, you know, like it used to be at age 65, you had no choice but to retire. You know, stop that, put your feet up. And the number of people who died, you know, a year or two after retirement was quite amazing. Now, in a way, that's followed through. We have a view that our older people are an emerging burden. What they are an emerging reservoir of knowledge and information, capacity that we haven't tapped into. And even our funding arrangements for people with disabilities and people who are aging are so different now that many people who are aging are going to have to go into residential aged care because of the disparity between the funding that's available to people with disabilities and the people who are aging. You know, it's not uncommon for a person with a disability to have a package of funding of over $200,000, if that's what it requires to for them to lead a good life in the community. I don't know the exact numbers, but I understand the limit of funding for people who are aged is about
$52,000.
Mm. You know, with more funding and more capacity to use that in ways that made sense to them, many older people could stay living in their communities, connected with those sorts of higher order needs, as I call them, being met through their continuing involvement with friends, this sense of accomplishment from still being able to, you know, have a nice garden, make some little accomplishment in your community.
Richard, would you like to see more investment? Do you agree with the idea of having a levy or some way that the country can come together and address this growing financial issue as we all get older?
Yes, and in fact, again, this is what happened in the disability sector. When the Productivity Commission did its review of disability in Australia, it said it was an underfunded and broken system. That sounds pretty familiar now, looking at the aged care report. So, yes, I think there needs to be investment, but I think we need to relook at how we do this. One of the things that I understand is that when you get your package of funding under the aged care, it's not vested in you to spend in ways that make sense to you. It's vested in an organisation that will provide those services to you. And I think that that's an issue. Many people with disabilities who've had their funding packages have been able to use them in innovative ways that have made really good services, that have stretched their money and provided things that they feel really in control of. And we've got a different system in aged care. So my view would be that not only is there a need for more investment, but we have to look at better ways that people could do this, where they can be more in control. You know, that if you want your service provided by the local gardener, you should be able to contract with him yourself rather than to do that through one of the hugely growing, and I have to say, unaccountable in many ways, aged care providers.
Mm.
I recently looked at the Constitution and the reporting of one of our aged care providers, and there was very, very little reporting to regulatory bodies. You know, I think that some of these organisations are becoming big, unaccountable organisations, and that people with who are ageing are not doing well in many instances through having to get their services from those organisations.
I really appreciate your time today. Thank you so much for joining me.
That's a pleasure, Jenny, and all the best to all of your listeners.